Hello and welcome to another edition of Design Buzz, the blog for those interested in today's nightclub and bar design trends, product reviews and interviews. Here's our host, international nightclub designer, Rick Usabel.
With me today is Mr. Josh Goodman, who's the CEO and founder of a very cool company called Pour My Beer. Actually, it's Innovative Tap Solutions is the parent company, and Pour My Beer is a really cool, unique way of dispensing beer, which is the self-service system. And I'm not really familiar with anything like this in the bar nightclub scene, Josh. But so tell me what was the motivation behind Pour My Beer, and how did that kind of start?
Yeah, it's actually a really interesting story, Rick, or not that interesting, depending on who's listening. But you know, I was actually at a bar in Baltimore, and that's where I was, you know, for the last 8 years. And just sitting there, and realized that I'd been sitting there for about 10 minutes and not had a drink with all of my friends that I'd met up with. They were some college friends of mine, and we're just sitting there. And I said, "There's got to be a better way to get a beer." And they all kind of laughed. And they said, "Yeah, just, you know, bully your way through the bar and, you know, hold a $20 bill up." And I said, "No, there's got to be a better way to get a beer. This is just archaic. It hasn't changed in, you know, what, thousands of years, you know?"
Yeah, yep.
So, you know, we just started talking, and you know, that thought just stayed with me that night. And I just, it kind of evolved, and I said, "You know what? Not only were we not very happy with the amount of service we got, but the bar owner is essentially losing out on sales due to efficiency." So, you know, just like any invention, it comes out of necessity. I felt that there was a necessity to fill that gap and let bar owners make more money when it's busy, and let patrons and customers actually, you know, get what they want when they want it. So that's where it all started. You know, that was around 2008. And, you know, 2009, the first prototype was made, and I put it in a bar in Baltimore called Mother's.
Oh.
And it was an interesting experience. You know, like any prototype, you know, it wasn't pretty, but it worked. And mm-hmm. You know, it took a lot of handholding. That was when I realized it wasn't just about creating a product, but it was about educating the consumer. And you know, that was, in a lot of ways, that's actually more difficult than selling to the customer, because you know, again, when people have been doing the same thing for thousands of years, if they see taps on a table or on a wall, it's not in their, you know, mindset to think, "Oh, I can actually access those and pour my own beer." So, you know, that whole idea of educating the customer initially didn't strike me as being that difficult of an obstacle, but, you know, that's become a large focus on our end, is helping our customers educate their customers.
Yeah, very true. You know, though, going back a moment, obviously you're entrepreneurial at heart, and but you know, the experience that you had there, which is a snapshot of what you see probably almost every week on Bar Rescue, right? So you see John Taffer going into a place, and people are waiting three deep at the bar, and you can see the look on his face, and you can feel his you can feel his anguish when you're watching it, you know, and you can, you know, you're thinking, how long are these people going to continue to stand here? Probably not long. That's the answer. And worse than that, they may never come back, right? Because
exactly.
People are very, you know, there's a million places to go in every city, and or seemingly, you know, so, but many people just say, "Hey, you know what, I'm going across the street. I'm not coming back here. I've been, you know, I haven't been well served, and I don't want to deal with this again," right? We deal with a sort of an unforgiving society these days.
Now, the other thing, the funny thing about, I guess, Americans as well, is we tend to expect bad service. You know, it's like, so when we actually get decent service or okay service, it kind of sticks in our head as, "Wow, that was nice.
That was fantastic." Yeah.
So, you know, that's where we're, you know, we're trying to take a portion of the, I guess, the, I don't know, however you want to call it, like the in a bar or a restaurant, they have the atmosphere, the quality of the food or the beverages and the service. If we can improve the service and let them focus more on the quality of the atmosphere and the, you know, and obviously the other aspect of it is, then it takes one of the things that they need to worry about out of the equation. And that's where self-serve, you know, table taps and beer wells, you know, fit into the equation. You can take a server that's in the weeds and turn their tables into beer tables, and all of a sudden, you know, it's freed up time for them to build more for the customer, to build, you know, more on each check. They can focus on upselling appetizers and shots and other things because their draft beer or wine on tap has been taken care of. So,
keeps them air longer for sure. Yeah, they're more content.
Yep.
Well, so Pour My Beer then consists of, was it four products, Josh? Is that right?
Yeah, that's four products. You know, there's some variations to those four products, but it's four different types of products.
So you have mobile products. Well, you have what, three mobile products or two? Is it you have the mobile beer wall?
Mobile tables, built-in tables, built-in beer walls. And
okay, so two.
And the only variation there would be if it was if we were adding wine to the equation, which we have done, like with the Marriott, they've got wine on tap and beer on tap in their lobby.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the same type of system, but we use a dual-zone cooling unit from Glastender to accomplish the two different types of wine. So you can have red and white on tap.
Oh, fantastic, yeah. So Glastender is your manufacturing partner in this?
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, we come to them with ideas and designs, and their engineers take that and, you know, make it 10 times better. So it's this is their
you're dealing with the best in Glastender. I fully preach that to everybody. Glastender is really, you couldn't have picked a better partner to work with, in my opinion. So you have two products each that are mobile and built in. And so then who becomes your customers for these types of things? So the beer tin, the built-in beer wall, would that typically be in a bar or a pub, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, we've installed them in a lot of different types of places at this point, but for the most part, it's your craft beer bars where they want a lot of choice. We've done some locations where it's more of a volume play and they just want to sell as much beer as they can possibly sell. And in those cases, what they do is they just sell cards that have a dollar amount on them. So they'll sell a $10 or $20 or $30 card, and then, you know, they're just selling as many cards as they can. Versus, you know, in a craft beer environment, you may have 20, 30, 40 different taps to choose from.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're charging 50 cents an ounce, which works out to anywhere from $7 to $8 a beer, depending on how many ounces are in their glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But what we found is that the customers that pour their own beer with our taps, they feel like they're getting a great deal because they're not actually having to buy seven beers to taste seven beers. So they can go by and they can taste 5 ounces of one and 4 ounces of another.
Oh, there you go. Sure.
7 ounces of another. And if they like what they taste, they can just go back and taste more. And, you know, it's that freedom, that empowerment that I think the consumer really loves about our product.
So you use a... What I've seen in a food cart. When I saw the video, and there's a really cool video itself that explains this whole thing, which we'll have on our blog here, and it's on the pourmybeer.com website. It's that there's a wristband, correct? Is that the way of saying it?
Yeah,
it looks like a wristband to me.
You can use the wristband, or we have RFID cards. So really, any type of RFID works with our system. It's, the wristband, I think, was the original one, and we've evolved since then.
Yeah. So it's a self-serve system, and there's a preset dollar amount. You prepay, and then use it at your discretion. And if you don't use them all, if you don't use all the, say, by $20 worth, you use $8 or $10 worth today, you can come back and use the rest the next time, right?
Yeah, but the only thing that we have done is put an expiration date on the actual card. So let's say you had a $50 card and you spent $20 of it that day. we don't necessarily want you to be able to walk out and then walk back in the next day and then go pour beer. There's got to be staff interaction every time you come back in, because, you know, essentially they have to authorize your card, wristband, to give you access back to the staff.
True, yeah. You might give it to your younger brother.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, there are some. But, you know, that's interesting because I was reading your now, you guys are really kind of the pioneers here in the United States, the way it looks, the way I'm reading it. Is that correct? I mean, you say, I guess there are some people abroad, like, say, in England and Europe, who have dispensing systems, but nothing that's automated like this, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question we've definitely laid the groundwork for other companies to try to come into the United States and do this. But, you know, I guess one of the comforting thoughts on our end is that we've done over 200 installations, and we've learned a lot from those 200 installations, you know, to that anyone that enters the market is going to have to learn on their own as well. So now we're faster, smarter, quicker, and more affordable than really any product out of the market. And, you know, over the next 2 years, our focus is just to widen the gap between us and anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting too is that the nice reports that the system prints out for the owner, the way it looks to me. So he has whoever it is that has the system in the house, and if they have two systems, I'm sure each one probably prints separate reports. Correct?
Yeah. So that, you know, I was actually just at one of our clients based in Chicago, El Jefe, and they do three beers and a liquor on every single table, and they have seven tables. And, you know, I was just looking at their drink report for the month. You know, I don't think it's, they're a very successful chain. And I want to say that, you know, just for the month so far, they're over, you know, a few thousand drinks. So you got to figure if they're doing a few thousand drinks and, you know, a shot of Cabo Wabo is going for $10. So, you know, they're not doing too bad there, I guess is what I was getting at. So yeah, it's all about having reports that they can access and see. They can have transaction reports, monthly reports, daily reports, really anything that they you know, they want to see or look into, they can.
So in other words, then, as I'm looking at the report, the SAMP report on your website, then you also get, for instance, you can get a breakdown by brand, correct?
Yep,
and then
brand, everything.
Mm-hmm. And it also sounds like you... But actually, what's even kind of more compelling about this than I thought was that you can get an idea of who your customers are. Am I not correct?
Yeah, no, you can. You know, that's only when we use an ID to access.
No, I don't mean specifically who your customers are. I mean demographically who your customers are.
Yeah.
For instance, male, female, the age groups, and who's buying what.
Right. So that particular setup is useful. Not as many bars as you would probably think use that, because it adds another step to the process.
Okay.
Because they do need to scan the guest's license to then attach that license to the wristband, and it anonymizes that data. So it's not like the customer's home address and, you know, license number and everything is stored. It takes little pieces of that information, and then it uses that information to generate those reports that you're looking at, where it's, you know, age breakdown, you know, male to female breakdown, all that.
Well, and I think that's good for people to know, because, you know, we live in such a sensitive time here with our personal information, our identity and such. We, you know, if people come in to a bar, the last thing they want to feel like that everything is left behind, and now the next thing is, you know, the worst thing of all things happens. You know, they get hacked, or they get, you know, their information sold to somebody else. That's not what this is.
Right. No, it's, and you know, it's in some of our more, our larger clients, they don't allow that. So we can't even let them use an ID to set up a wristband or card, because, you know, in their mind, it's a Marriott customer or Starwood Hotel Group customer or one of those. So it's not, that information is not even allowed to be, I guess, taken.
Sure.
Even if it is anonymous.
Could we circle back to your products for a moment before I forget here, Josh? So we talked about the built-in beer systems, but what about the mobile? Are these different customers typically that you, you know, do any of these go into event? Are they event-driven or like outside a bar or that type of thing, or how does that work? Or they go out into courts or into a, you know, like if a bar has, is that intended for a bar that might have outdoor seating?
No, I mean, the mobile products are really the core clients we have in that arena are ones that just don't have the ability to run beer lines to a specific area in the bar. So,
okay.
You know, we'll get a call from a bar that says, oh, we love this, we want to do it, but we have slab concrete floors. How do we get beer to a certain area?
Yeah.
And then this resolves that problem. And that kind of dates back to my original entry into the business is I went around to 40 or 50 bars and tried to sell them on self-serve beer and running beer lines to their to a certain area in the bar. And, you know, the unanimous response was, I love the concept, great idea, I'd love to do it, but I'm not spending $30,000 to run some beer lines to an area in the bar. May or may not work out.
And that's what it'll cost, too. I just went through this. I just went through this with a client on a cost study on implementing a remote draw beer system in his club. So the mobile does actually, so you have basically a direct draw system then. Is that what it is?
It's a direct draw system, and it's networked into the, you know, the only thing that is required is a wire going to and from the table, but that can be hid fairly discreetly. And, you know, it's a very quick solution. I mean, we can install three beer tables in a matter of 30 or 45 minutes,
wow.
You know, given how well they're put together and manufactured by Glasscenter. It's just a matter of, you know, putting the kegs in, hooking the gas up, turning the system on, and you have a working beer system, a self-serve beer system.
Wow, very cool. Well, there appears to be other benefits to this, though, and I think one of the benefits that I would imagine is apparent to the owner is that is with respect to efficiency then, right? Because the beer that's drawn is the beer that's paid for. Is that a good way of looking at it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the first time ever, there's no middleman. It goes from the keg to the customer, and the amount that's been dispensed is being charged for. So there's, you know, typically in the industry, you're looking at about a 25% waste, and that's an acceptable amount, unfortunately, by a lot of bar owners. So, you know, that's we're changing the way that's done. You know, obviously, one bar at a time right now, but at the same time, it's a very lucrative opportunity. You know, we even have bars that have said, you know what, we're just going to completely change the game and be 100% self-serve. So then there's no opportunity for theft, loss, waste, you know, anything.
Shrinkage, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in other words, there's no opportunity for overpouring or the free giveaways or what have you.
Exactly.
It's going to give you, you're going to basically pay for every ounce is paid for, and that's a huge, and your number is pretty true to form from what I know from the research that I've done on the industry, and that it goes across the board. That's, you know, yeah, so owners can really, bite into this. What would be the average investment then for these types of different systems then, Josh?
Yeah, so, you know, just to kind of, I guess, break it down over the four main components, if you're looking at our, whether you're getting our mobile beer tables or built-in beer tables, that first table is going to cost you more than the additional ones because you do need to get the control system for it and the database and, the, you know, all that. It comes with just getting one table. So you're looking at around, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 just for that, and then each additional table, you know, I'll just use a, you know, I guess a two tap system, you know, as an example. But you're looking at about $525 per line for flow control, and looking at around $1,200 per table for the screen. So, you know, for each additional table, if you're adding two taps and a screen, you know, around $2,500. So,
okay.
And then, you know, with the mobile systems, the first table is around 9,000, around 87 $7,700, and then the traditional table after that is $7,900. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's a custom built, made to order beer system on wheels. And then for the beer walls, our mobile beer walls, you know, we're doing a few for some pretty large clients out in the West, and they're about $18,000 a pop. So you're, you know, that includes the control station to load cards on. So after you've got the first one, it's around $15,000 per after that. So that's a pretty straightforward price. And then the cards themselves are around $1.83 per. So if they're getting 1,000 cards, then $183, or $1,083. And then the only other, I guess, option is the built-in beer walls, which typically works out to around $1,300 per tap. So that's
okay.
A tap and a screen. And then, you know, the actual check-in area, again, is close to $3,000. So, you know, we do projects as big as, you know, $60,000, $70,000 that are all-encompassing, beer walls, beer tables, everything included. And then we do little small projects where, you know, we just won in Chicago for, I think it was $8,200. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, the price range can go in both directions, but the most important aspect of it is the return on investment. And we feel that, you know, no matter whether the customer's spending $60,000 or $8,000, their return on investment is very real, and it's in two forms. It's a soft return and a hard return. The hard return being their cost savings on no waste, and their increased efficiencies on customer spending. So, you know, you're taking your keg cost down 25% and you're increasing your revenues by 25%.
Yeah.
So that's a compounding, I guess, return on investment. And then you have the soft return, which is just people talking about it. I mean, there's numerous cases where we hear from customers that once people start talking about it and posting things on various social media sites, all their friends come because of that and comment on it, and
yeah.
It's just got a lot of curb appeal.
Yeah. Yeah, people love, you know, us Americans, we like our technology, right? So the first thing they're going to do, they have, especially that positive experience like we were talking earlier, they're going to start telling everybody about it, right? That's
exactly
how it works.
Yep.
Sure. So then you provide, from my beer's perspective, you also provide cloud support for data backup and that type of thing then?
Yeah, so that comes along with our monthly. So, we charge the customer up front on the system, and they have our technology. They don't necessarily own our technology. We're letting them use it. But on a monthly basis, we have a it's typically all wrapped up into one. It's a warranty, support, software, you know, licensing. It's all kind of wrapped into one bundle. And then we, you know, that holds us accountable. So part of that agreement ongoing is that if we're not picking up the phone or their system's not working, then we're not charging them for that monthly.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it keeps us both honest, and it obviously motivates our support staff to be on top of any problem, because
mm-hmm.
you know their compensation is also directly related to our customers' products staying online.
Sure. Well, the nice thing for an owner for a customer of yours is that even the guy who comes in and spends $8,000 today, he's certainly the guy that if he's enchanted, he might be very well be the next guy who spends $50,000 or $60,000 a year or two from now. So the beauty of what this is that if it's working well, it's modular in concept, so you can keep adding to it and expanding it. And right? So
there's
inherent value in the equipment anyway.
Yeah, and we've had situations where someone got, you know, two or three tables to start with, and they said, you know what, can you send me a quote for another two tables? I want to add them to this system, and it's not very difficult to do because, like you said, it's modular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and they've already bought into it, and that makes it easier for the end user. You know, they're familiar now with the process, and they're excited about using it. You know, they have all that behind them, and this is a very cool product you have, and a service, really. It's two things in one, the way I see it. I'm not sure that there's anything else. Is there anything else that I've overlooked so far, or we covered pretty much all the salient points?
Yeah, I mean, you've you know, I think the big thing for us is awareness. And, you know, I think as the industry becomes more, accepting of this type of technology, you know, similar to when BlackBerry came out, you know, oh my gosh, you can get email anywhere. Great. You know, now that was a little bit more of a firestorm, you know, but, I do believe that just being someone from the inside looking out, the trend is definitely, in a very positive direction with our company. Mm-hmm. And we're the most well positioned to capitalize on that growth. And, you know, that's why we have, very strong board of directors and shareholders that all feel the same way. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to keep our core values in line with the growth of our company as far as making sure that our customers are happy. I mean, even me going down personally to help out with a problem at a customer in Chicago, you know, our service techs are scattered all over the country. And, you know, when I started the company, I had to do everything they're doing. So
yep.
It just made sense that I just drive down, you know, 35 minutes to the client yep. site and fix a problem for them.
Sure, why not? Yeah, it's always nice to see the guy at the top, you know. I think that's true
yeah.
in your business, you know. So,
yep.
Well, anyway, Josh, I really want to thank you again for all your time today. This is really most helpful. I think people in the nightlife sector, the bars and nightclubs and the pubs and what have you, sports bars, I think everybody needs to be to have a greater awareness of this product, Pour My Beer. And I think the future certainly looks great for you. And thank you very much for joining me and give me your time. And certainly wish you the best of luck. And I guess that concludes this edition of Design Buzz. We'll be talking soon, Josh.
All right.
Okay, sir. Thank you now.
On behalf of Rick, thank you again for joining us for this edition of Design Buzz. We all look forward to seeing you again real soon.